Lecture 41, The Northern Home Front, Part 2.
We continue our look at the Northern Home Front with this lecture, and we'll focus on two principal topics. The first was the performance of the Northern economy during the war, its ability to produce both military and non-military materials, and the Republican legislative agenda that helped shape the direction the United States would take politically and economically through the remaining decades of the 19th century. We'll start with the economy. And here the picture couldn't be more different than the picture we painted earlier in the course of the Confederate economy during the war. The North, unlike the Confederacy, proved able to outfit and provision its armies while at the same time producing ample consumer goods. And in this sense, the Northern economy during the war anticipated what the American economy would do in future wars, as in World War I and World War II, when the United States proved able to give civilians everything they needed with only minimal rationing and other interference from the federal government, as well as putting enormous armies into the field and equipping them. The North, like the United States in the future, was able to do that. The North did not suffer the problem that so many other nations have suffered in history of really finding it difficult to take care of armies at the same time they were trying to take care of a civilian population that demanded at least a minimum level of consumer goods. Oftentimes, societies at war find themselves so strapped behind the military lines that they are in a very problematical position in terms of keeping morale high. That is not going to be the case in the North. As one New York newspaper commented with great satisfaction on this topic fairly late in the war, quote, "It was a favorite theory of the rebel leaders at the beginning of the rebellion that the withdrawal of Southern trade from the North would make grass grow in the streets of New York City. But the vast increase of Northern military trade has more than made up for the loss of Southern business. There never was a time in our history," remarked this article, "when New York business was more prosperous and prosperity was more general than within the last 2 or 3 years." And that really is a very accurate, I think, summary of much of the experience of the North economically during the war. We'll look at several sectors of the economy, beginning with agriculture. Agriculture, the single most important part of the Northern economy, did extremely well during the conflict. The North grew more wheat, for example, in 1862 and again in 1863 than the entire nation had produced in the previous record year of 1859. And there were major wheat growing sectors in the South. The Shenandoah Valley produced an enormous amount of wheat in the antebellum years, as did parts of Tennessee. But despite those contributions to the national production in the late antebellum years, the North exceeded that during the war. Corn production also shot up, and exports of pork, beef, corn, and wheat doubled during the war, doubled over the national averages from before the war. These exports included a vast amount of trade with Great Britain. Great Britain was suffering from its inability to get as much cotton from the South as it had gotten before the war, but it became more reliant on grain exports from the United States. Great Britain, by the end of the Civil War, was importing an enormous amount of grain from the United States and heavily dependent upon it. Yet another factor in that group of factors that made it unlikely that Great Britain would step into the war on the side of the Confederacy. Now, this great burst of agricultural production took place when fully a third of the agricultural workforce was off in the army, which makes it all the more remarkable that the North was able to accomplish this. It was made possible largely by the expanded use of labor-saving machinery in the North, especially reapers and mowers and rakers. These are implements that were not generally available in the Confederacy, certainly not to the degree they were in the North. These kinds of machines allowed women and children to do much of the work that men previously had done, men who were now shouldering muskets, women and children doing much of what they had done before. An observer in 1862 wrote about this phenomenon. He said, "I see a great revolution which machinery is making agriculturally.